Let's go to next item of business, the final privacy policy. Who would like to move? Sorry, page 130, Councillor Crossland. Question.
Question, please.
Go ahead.
I'm a little bit concerned about this one, particularly regarding the data breach. I don't understand what we're actually suggesting happens if there's a data breach. And if could someone explain what we're going to do?
Ms. Dinmore, is it, or Ms. McKenzie? First of all, could somebody identify the relevant part of the policy?
4.7.
Thank you. Ms. McKenzie, is it, or Ms. Dinmore?
Either one of us can answer it. We have developed a, so 4.7 refers to an eligible data breach, which says that any data breach will be assessed, investigated and managed in accordance with the procedure. So that procedure has been developed. It will be considered by, the way that policies obviously go to council, procedures are adopted by the executive leadership team. It's going up to the executive leadership team next Monday, so it's ready to go.
Well, wouldn't it be terribly poor governance for us to adopt a policy that incorporates a procedure which we don't know about?
Well, the policy documents have always been about the policy intent. So how the council, I guess, intends to manage it from a policy position. However, the procedure, which is what the staff will do and how they will manage it, has been adopted by the management.
Well, the only problem with that is that there's no principle whatsoever set out in the policy. The policy is basically substituted for by the procedure, which we don't know about. So I don't know why management would keep the privacy procedure private from us, but I would caution council against voting for a policy which incorporates a procedure which we can't see. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, look, that was my worry. This is obviously something we need to know before we vote, so I'll move a deferral on this item.
Very well. Ms. McKenzie, what would suit to meeting in August, or sorry, meeting in July, or
First meeting in July is fine. The next council meeting is quite full, but it's ready to go. We could bring it to the next meeting if members wanted to, but it would be more just about the size of the agenda. We can certainly bring it in July.
All right. Well, that's deferred to July by Councillor Crossland. Is that seconded? Councillor Gard, do you wish to speak?
No.
Actually, deferral is just a procedural motion, isn't it, Ms. McKenzie?
That's correct.
Yeah, so sorry, there's no need to. Right. Thank you. Corrected myself there. It's been moved and seconded. Put your hand up if you agree to defer. Those against the deferral? No, that is carried unanimously. Thank you. So we can go to the next item. Councillor Valescu, you're putting your hand up. Is that a point of order or what?
Look, I just had a quick question. If we could have some information in regards to staff accessing information they don't need for their job. If there's any information on that that could be brought to it?
Look, at this stage, I would suggest that you take up the question with staff in between meetings. And if it needs to come to council, it can. If there's just a simple answer, it can just come to you. As you see fit. Let's move on to the next item, biennial service review program. On page, is that right? Page 138. The motion is to endorse the program. I couldn't see any real catches with this one. Positive thing is a lot of working with other councils, which is great. Councillor Duncan, was that you moving the motion? Lovely, very helpful. Did you wish to speak?
No, I think it's well written and it should be just endorsed. I agree with that.
Yes, very well. Seconded Councillor Schilling, anything to add? No. Is anyone speaking against or a question? Councillor Hull? Sorry, was that to make a contribution, Councillor Hull? If so, unmute yourself, please.
Just a question, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Working with other councils, you make a very good point. With our current waste management tender, are we actually working with any other council with that tender? Are we going it alone with Clean Away, or are there other councils working with us in that tender?
No, we're not going at it alone.
Ms. Dinmore, do you want to...
I didn't realise I was this, unmuted. Sorry.
Well, this is
apologies.
This is about service review. It's a pretty different topic, the waste contract arrangements. But do you want to, since it's holding up the meeting anyway, Ms. Denmore, do you want to give a quick answer? Or
sure. We are working with partner councils on that. I'm really sorry, my voice is terrible tonight, but we are working with partner councils.
Which councils?
We're not doing it alone.
Yeah, question is which councils? Mr. Skull?
Thank you, Chair. Adelaide City Council and the City of Charles Sturt. So the three councils are part of the councils that left after Council Solutions folded, who went with the waste contract. So there's three of us.
Right.
Quite a big block.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favour? Service review program, all those against? No one against, that's carried unanimously, thank you. On to Living Ghana Cultural Centre Management Model. Now, I do need to raise governance issues here. I didn't realise until, of course, the recommendations weren't in the draft agenda. When I read them in the agenda, it occurred to me there is a governance issue, which I've raised with Mr. Lyons. It goes this way. If you look at the January motion, which is set out at the beginning of the report, you'll see the council resolution. If no proposal is received by the due date, council will automatically commence an EOI. And Ghana people can submit an expression of interest, etc. So council anticipated what should happen on the 31st of May, basically. There being no proposal received by KYAC by that time, administration had a council resolution to enact, to implement. So whichever way councillors prefer out of those two recommended motions, there are problems with both of them. In terms of the second one, proceeds to request, etc., it is completely redundant because that is already stipulated in the January motion. In terms of the other alternative, to extend the due date, my ruling would be that that requires a rescission motion. So I'm not saying that people can't do it, but we would need to rescind what we decided, particularly Clause 4, in January. Now, before I proceed, I'll ask for Ms. McKenzie to advise any further, but that would be my ruling as Chair.
Through the chair, yes, technically speaking, the first option would require a rescission motion. We did have a look at the wording today and potentially you could repeat the motion and extend the due date. But if you're going to talk on a technicality, then yes, it would need to be rescinded. The second part, you're correct, if members decided that they wanted to progress, then we go with obviously what was determined back in January this year.
In other words, as a way forward, if council resolves nothing tonight, then administration should get on with the January resolution. If council wishes to extend the due date, then a rescission motion would be required. Now, at the moment, I'll just take any questions or points of order. Councillor Crossland, then Councillor Holt.
Yeah, my question is, that original motion is very black and white with no wiggle movement. It's fairly clear. My question would be, so why haven't we commenced the EOI as instructed by council back in January?
I'll just preempt that just from my governance point of view before asking Mr. Lyons to respond. If there is a dramatic change in circumstances, it's always understandable that administration choose not to act on a council resolution and they might bring it back for second consideration. For example, if the cliff at Hallett Cove fell down, administration might want to come back and ask us to reconsider the building a trail on the coastal walkway because it wouldn't exist. Okay, in this case, the new information appears to be that KYAC have sought an extension. So I'm just saying from governance background, there are occasions when administration will come back and ask us to make a decision again, but it would usually be where there's change of circumstances. Mr. Lyons, would you like to respond to Mr. Crossland's question? Councillor Crossland's question, please.
Thank you. Through the chair, Councillor, yes, the original motion said that we would automatically go out to an EOI on the 31st of May. 2 days before that expiry, I received that letter from KIAC asking for an extension. That put me in a little bit of a position. I could have ignored that and made the call myself. It was addressed to me. I could have complied with the original motion back in January. However, if I did ignore that and just went ahead, I think some members would have thought that was taking too much on myself and possibly making the wrong call. And so my preference was to take that to the chamber and to take direction from there.
Councillor Crossland, I'll just let you continue with that point before I go to Councillor Hull.
Yeah, I've got two other points. So the first one is,
questions,
it's probably really a bit unfair. Was that anticipated that we wouldn't get a response by the end of May, number one? And number two, how long exactly now in years have we been waiting for this response from KIAC or the Kaurna people?
So with regard to the two questions, I didn't have any idea about what response, if any, I would receive from KIAC. And so the letter I received via email on the 29th of May was the first information I received from that group. With regard to the second question, I think your question probably reflects the total working period with KIAC or Kaurna groups. And as I said in the report, we've been working with that group since 2016, and I've been involved in all of that. Technically, we asked them for a proposal in January of this year.
Or there was a previous, sorry, Mr. Lyons, but wasn't there a previous, the report refers back to 2016, but there was a couple of years or so when we were working to develop a shared management model, wasn't there? And
Definitely, we put a lot of work into that and the groups worked collaboratively together, but then the proposal that we jointly agreed was withdrawn late in the piece by Kaurna themselves.
Okay. Councillor Hull, question time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In the report, it refers to COVID-19. The very reason why we're actually sitting here looking at a screen tonight is because of COVID-19. So I'd like to ask the question, in defence of the administration position on this, is it plausible that COVID-19 is a reasonable reason for this extension, given that these people can't meet to discuss these matters and they do have to meet face-to-face, that's their culture? And I'd also like to ask a secondary question of Mr. Clark, who's listening in. If we actually did vote to actually seek an EOI, given the current circumstances, how would that fare in community perception?
Mr. Lyons?
I think as a general response, Councillor, it's fair that most organisations have been significantly impacted by coronavirus. Our council has, of course, it's been massive. It can't be underestimated for the past 3 months, and members would be well aware of that. We have had huge resources, though. We've got a very competent and wide-ranging IT team that has allowed nights like this to progress, and I'm aware that not all groups have that same luxury. It's probably a little bit, I don't think I'm able, Councillor, to reflect on what the Kaurna could and couldn't do. They do quote in their letter about being a vulnerable group, and so the options to meet face-to-face, they're saying, are very difficult, and obviously with social distancing that would make it even more difficult. I can't really speak on their behalf on this matter.
Any other questions then, Councillor Telfer?
No, I wanted to move a rescission motion of the item that Council notes the report 1 to 5, and then move the recommendation 1 and 2 of the extension for 3 months.
Very well. So just to be clear, a rescission motion effectively deleting clauses 1 to 5 of the January resolution and replacing it with clauses 1 and 2 on the paper as printed.
Point of order, Your Worship.
A point of order, Councillor Pryor.
We don't have enough notice for a rescission motion tonight, so that's to go to next meeting.
That is, I uphold the point of order. So there needs to be a deferral. Would you like to move a deferral so that the motion can be debated with proper notice? Hang on, I'll just go to Ms. McKenzie first.
Sorry, through the chair, I would probably recommend that you foreshadow that the rescission motion will be brought to the next meeting, and then we would present a clean report with the rescission attached. That way we'll just close out this matter and then the rescission motion will be clear.
So, Councillor Telfer, I'd invite you to recast your motion Ms. McKenzie.
I foreshadow that the current motion will be brought to the next council meeting for consideration of rescission of.
Ms. Thwaites wants to advise.
Can I share my screen just to show my proposed minutes?
Yes, thank you.
Sorry, just bringing it up. Can you see that?
Yes, Jamie, we can see it.
That seems to capture it very well. Councillor Telfer, are you happy with it?
I'm not sure what the due date is. Can we name the due date in that? Right. So that's the rescission, sorry. Yep.
Mayor, could I make a comment, sorry?
Yes, Mr. Lyons.
I think I understand where Councillor Telfer wants to take this, and I'm very, very happy to write this up if this gets passed. I'm flagging that recommendations 3, 4, and 5 of the January motions would still need to be reflected in the new one. I suspect that Council would still want to be able to go out to an EOI if no proposal was received.
And number one, notes the report. Then number two makes the recommendation will be Council extends the due date, and then you could have 3, 4, and 5.
Right, so 3, 4, and 5 from January. Yes, go down the bottom there. Ms. Thwaites is onto it.
Yep. Sorry, just...
Yeah, I'm not sure we have to do all of this noting of reports, to be honest, but unless there is nothing else to do, but I'll go with Ms. Thwaite's advice on that.
So, well, the notes report is purely this report that's been tabled.
Well, that'll be the next report. I mean, I would just suggest, Councillor Telfer, that when a fresh motion is moved, you don't really need to note the report. Council can just, you know, take action, and quite clearly it's based on the report that's in the agenda. So as Chair, I would suggest that if no action is required, that's when the motion is Council notes the report. But otherwise, you don't need to say that. So I think that does reflect your intentions.
I can move that.
Yes. Thanks very much. And is that seconded? Sorry, Councillor Telfer.
Can I just say that, a lot of us have been away for 3 months, and some of those Kaurna people are literally physically away for 3 months. So it's not unreasonable to consider 3 months at this extraordinary time as an extension.
All right. If the motion fails, then administration will get on with enacting the January motion. So we get the idea. Councillor Telfer has moved. That's seconded, Councillor Velescu.
Thank you, Your Worship. Look, I think with what's been going on, it's more than reasonable for us to award more time for this. I do understand Councillor Crossland is correct that the process has dragged on, but I guess in this case there is a legitimate reason. This is an at-risk group, and I think maybe members do need to consider what the debate is at the moment about the disenfranchised feeling that a lot of Aboriginal people have in our community. So I think it would be a very negative thing for the council then just to ignore this request at this time for extra time, based on the situation that we're in at the moment and that this community is in.
Anyone speaking in opposition to the motion? Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, I'm speaking against it, not in as far as denying them the 3 month extension, which oddly enough, Councillor Telfer doesn't feel is adequate enough. My name is not going to be part of actually moving the Kaurna people from this particular facility and having them sort of able to hang around there, I guess, some sort of associate.
How are you speaking against the motion?
Well, I'm speaking against it because of adding on to those other points at the end that I don't agree with.
Oh, I see. Well, then I think really this motion is about giving Councillor Telfer the opportunity or someone to move next time that we have the debate. But all right, yeah, keep going. It's really a debate for next time, but no, carry on.
Well, I take your point, but in the minutes, it's going to look as if I actually voted to actually be part of moving the Kaurna people on, and I don't want that to be reflected in the minutes at all.
Yeah, I understand. You don't want an expression of interest, and therefore you're against the motion. I understand that. So carry on. Yep, you speak to it. Yep.
So, you know, it's interesting Councillor Velescu talks about the timing of this. It's awful timing. It was never going to be good timing because we're not really walking the talk in terms of our, you know, flying the flag outside the council chambers and having the wrap and all that. That particular facility was built with Federation funding and was built as a Aboriginal interpretive centre. Not as somewhere for the local, I don't know, some other group to hang out and lease. That's not what it was built for. It was clearly money provided by the federal government to help Aboriginal reconciliation. And, you know, any suggestion other than that is a contravention of that grant that was given by the federal government. And, you know, I'm happy to support the extension, but I'm sorry, I can't have my name to the rest of the motion because it's incriminating for me, and I don't want to be a party of it.
Is anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? All right, then, mover wish to say anything in reply? Councillor Telfer?
If we can rescind that motion and foreshadow that we are having a discussion next time on that whole point, we will be acting with probity.
All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. Carried by majority. Thank you.
Got a division on that, please.
Division
That'd
call.
Be nice to see.
All those in favour, please raise your electronic hand by clicking on participants, probably at the bottom of your screen, and raising your hand. Oh, that's right. I need to as well. Okay. Panelists, right, they're all there. Those in favour of the motion are Councillors Telfer, Mason, Pryor, Schilling, Velescu, Gard, Crossland, Clancy, Masika, Hutchinson and Duncan. Please lower your hands, and then those against the motion, please raise your hand electronically in the same way. So just waiting for people to lower their hands if they voted. That's it. So the one against is Councillor Hull. I declare the division or the motion carried by majority on the division. Thank you. Right, on to page 147, the revitalisation of the Edwardstown Employment Precinct. I had a question, start off with questions. I know I had a question about it that I took up with management. Any elected members have any questions? Councillor Crossland.
Thank you, Worship. I don't know whether it came up so much in the infrastructure meeting, but I did mention it there. I have ongoing issues with spending $10,000 to fix a private fence, facade mesh. I notice after all that discussion and talk, it's still on the list of things to spend money on. I was looking at something more, I'd rather see a hedge planted or a row of bushes that can be removed should the owner start to develop the site, rather than something which is going to fade, rip and get graffitied with no information as to who's going to clean that graffiti off and fix the fence when it starts looking pretty daggy.
Yes, that's a good question. Who would like to respond from management? No one? Oh, Mr. Huridas.
Good. I was going to refer to my colleagues on that in part, Mayor, but also Councillor Crossland. Can I take the question to mean that it's not so much around putting something in place, but it's the putting of a fence rather than an alternate option?
No, I think it's about spending public money on private property when landowners all around the city have an obligation to keep their place attractive. We've had the recent example down at Seacliff with a very unsightly fence that kept falling down, getting holes in it, and pressure was applied. difficult as that was, for the developer to reinstate the fence. And they did it at some point, and it's debatable how good a job they did, but at least they took some action. So that's really what we what some of the councils expect. Does this whole project need more work? I sort of feel it does, but others might have different views. It's just going to be hard to sort of pick and choose among the, you know, dozens of activities. But how are we going for time? You see, we're meant to finish this meeting in 17 minutes. That's the other thing. Then again, it's still possible. Councillor Velescu.
Your Worship, I was wondering if we can move to defer and get a few answers. I know there are a few other things mentioned as far as the sort of level of expertise we might be able to pay for to get in this project. So, yeah, I just think...
Could this go off to a ward briefing and have all members invited? I mean, just for this topic of the ward briefing? Might be an issue if not everyone can attend, but is there another ward briefing, Woodlands ward briefing booked, for example?
I'm just checking the diary. The next one is booked for the 23rd of June.
Right. Well, if one wants to move for a deferral, how about a motion that says that it go to a ward briefing before returning to council, just leaving it open? Ms. McKenzie, is that feasible as a motion or not?
So the adjournments do require to a specific date and time at the decision-making forum. So we would probably, I mean, if we defer it to July, I would suspect we could get the ward briefing in beforehand.
If we say July, can we leave that open or does it have to be a specific meeting?
Well, it would be the July. There's only one meeting in July. One. So if we said the July council meeting.
All right. Councillor, before we do that, in case there are any time-sensitive matters, Mr. Haridis, do you want to comment?
I was just going to point out that given the next General Council in July is at the end of the month, there is also the Urban Planning Committee, in addition to the ward briefings, that could be considered as a, if there was a view to discuss this further as an option for where it could be taken to.
I would recommend it go to the ward briefing and the Urban Planning Committee for further discussion. That's a great idea. Thank you. It's just such a huge, I'm sure everyone's had a look at this, so everyone can appreciate it's a massive project. Mr. Salmon, before we go on, what was your point?
Thank you. Through the chair, I just want to raise one issue with, I agree completely, it's a big project and deserves a lot of discussion. One practical issue is that the resource that is working on the project's contract ends at the end of June, and that resource was created through a council motion. So without any further motion, that role will just end. I just want to raise that.
So... that was the level 6 project coordinator.
Correct.
And you're recommending that we need someone to keep going with that, to keep the wheels moving, Mr. Salmon.
Oh, well, there's knowledge there. The person is familiar with the project. They're doing a good job. I'm just raising that as if this is deferred to July, that person, we'd have to just let them go under that arrangement. I think they're doing a good job. I'd like prefer to keep them going at least until council can make a decision on the future of the project, if that can be accounted for somehow.
All right. So thank you for the advice. There's another option here of looking at clauses 1 and 2, they're not a problem. And dot point 1 is the issue that Mr. Salmon's talking about. So if you want to keep it non-controversial and at a low level of expenditure, there could be a motion to deal with clauses 1 and 2 in the first dot point of 3. And that would give time to give rise to the broader discussion. So I'll come back to the ward councillors in a moment, but Councillor Hull, what did you want to say?
I was just wondering whether the same treatment would apply to Cement Hill up there at Marino and Scorpos' garage. Like, you know, we've got plenty of money, obviously. Why don't we really go right through the city and do this? You know, we've got boundless amounts of money, obviously. So,
yeah, one thing at a time. Let's focus on this one. But by all means, raise those issues at a subsequent forum. Councillor Valescu, you were contemplating a deferral motion. What do you think now?
Look, I'm quite happy to pass those 3 points. 1, 2, and the appropriate part of point 3, and then just defer the rest of it till the July meeting, which lets us talk about it in the ward briefing planning.
In terms of procedure, there would then be no need to defer as such. I suppose we could add a motion that refers this report to the next ward briefing and the next urban planning committee. And that just formalises the discussions we were just talking about.
Yeah, if that suits.
Just before I take that motion, I would just like to hear a commentary, if desired, from the ward councillors. I mean, is there anything to add or subtract from such a motion, Councillor Mason?
I was just going to ask, if it goes to the ward briefing, I mean, in point 3 it says resource level 8 project manager for full time for 4 months, and it also talks about up to $20,000 for support consultancy and also this the greening for up to $60,000. Is that not really anything that the ward councillors can really have much say in, is it? At the ward meet briefing.
Can't decide, but can have a say in terms of should that resource be more or less or something else.
Yeah.
And the application for a greening of an Edwardstown grant, that can be done irrespective. I mean, those grants are happening every week without us even knowing about it. So that can happen by the due date, I suspect, without any council resolution. But in terms of those extra resources, I suppose that's what's being suggested, to actually discuss that in more detail before a final decision is taken.
Yeah. Look, I'm happy to move 1, 2 and point 1 of 3. That's fine.
Well, Councillor Velescu did come in first, so I'll leave it with him.
That's fine.
But Councillor Masika, just checking with you, is there anything that you think should be added or subtracted in that motion?
Thank you, Your Worship. You know, it's really good to make sure that we maintain the skill base which has been working on this project rather than start, stop, and start again. And I quite agree with what Councillor Valesco has proposed, has moved.
All right.
And that is quite safe for this project to come back to the ward briefing and also to the Urban Planning Committee meeting.
All right. So, Councillor Valesco, you're moving clauses 1, 2, first up point, and that this report be referred to the next ward briefing and urban planning committee for further discussion, if you want to throw that in. So you're moving that way, Councillor. Did you wish to add anything?
No, that's fine.
All right. And who's first out of the two ward councillors? Councillor Mason, you're seconding. Wish to speak to it further? No. There was a question or comment, Councillor Crossland?
Just a question. Can we actually see the motion on the screen? And can we just confirm that by making the recommendations that I think are made, we're not automatically endorsing the plan in the attachments to actually initiate those plans?
Right, that'll be a question for management, but Ms. Thwaites, you're going to share your screen. Thank you. Right, that is what we were talking about. Now, can management advise we're not actually committing to any plans that talks about yes. noting achievements and recommendations? Noting recommendations by consultants doesn't seem to be more than that. So, Mr. Haridis?
Yeah, through the chair. Thank you, Mayor. The intention of this report was and is to scope those next steps. So in no way is this about endorsing and progressing with the recommendations in either of those reports. It was to take this complex body of work, understand it better, and then understand what the longer term resources would be to take it through its full realisation.
All right, thank you. So anyone speaking against the motion or a question, Councillor Hull? Just Mr. unmute,
Mayor,
yes.
Given the vigour that of which we objected to the fencing, you know, with the shroud around the old hill site, why did administration persist and ignore the consultation they did with elected members when we made it so clear that funding this sort of decorative expense on private properties was not really acceptable?
Mr. Haridis? Sorry, yeah, let's have Mr. Haridis answer that one.
Thank you, Councillor Hull. With respect to that question, really, this report is about a stock take on our next steps, and those action items were to be reviewed so that whilst that might perhaps not be as clear as would be liked in this report was about understanding where we would invest in our next processes and make those investment decisions at that time.
All right. Any other questions from any member? It's been moved and seconded. Any speakers against? If not, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. I realise it's moving slowly, but I think with this one, we need to take care and move slowly. But certainly to any members who haven't yet looked at it, the Holmes Dyer report is excellent and well worth a skim read at the very least. So perhaps Ms. McKenzie, you can help me which page to go to next. I think we've got it.
258,
rescission yep. motion, Delane Avenue. This is one where, well, depending on how this goes, potentially a successful result of the debate going to and fro, elected member community and management input. We may not all agree, but this is where we've landed. So over to, I'm looking for someone to move accordingly. Councillor Masika, go ahead.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'll just move the motion the way it is printed, but your Worship.
Yes, anything to add?
Nothing to add. We're looking forward to see the work being done and resolve the matter, put the matter to bed and let the resident enjoy life at it was.
Very good. Councillor Mason seconded the motion.
Yeah.
Nothing to add?
Nothing.
No. Question, Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, sorry, just one more question, which I didn't get a chance to ask last time. If we remove the pavers and replace with coloured bitumen, as suggested, can that coloured bitumen be the same level as the road, or does it have to have the ramping?
I'll come back to Councillor Schilling in a moment. Mr. Lyons, you're going to answer that one?
Yeah, through the chair, we did answer that one last time in that we considered a solution, a management device, that it was at the same level of the road, but it's a different device. It's called a slow angle point, and they're normally used in conjunction with other, so there's a sequence of them, a chain of them, etc., in a road. One-off devices like this one, which is a driveway link, are always raised, yes.
Yep, the colours will be Port Power colours, I presume. Councillor Crossland, any more questions? No. It's been moved and seconded. Anyone speaking a question, Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, has anybody in the staff done any consideration of community reaction when chainsaws? Sorry.
Go ahead. I just forgot Councillor Schilling, and apologies.
Oh, I can stop now if you like and allow him to take over if you like.
It's gracious of you. No, go ahead. Councillor Schilling's also being gracious. You go ahead, Councillor Hull.
When the chainsaw starts and we start cutting down those trees that were part of the chicane, quite advanced trees, has council actually taken into consideration the community perception of that, given the sensational news that we received about trees in the advertiser last week?
All right, Mr. Lyons.
There's two answers to that through the chair. The first is that no single person on the screen in front of me, including myself, likes losing even one tree. We all know that they build up amenity and are an important part of our city. The second bit is that unfortunately these trees make this device non-compliant, and as sad as it is, it has to come out.
Councillor Schilling.
I just have probably more of a comment than a question, but with regards to Delaney Avenue, I note that it appears in the draft annual business plan as removal under our capital works, so that probably should be amended.
Well, I suppose this motion had to be passed first. It hasn't yet, but Mr. Barnwell, will you take that on board?
Through the chair, yes, we'll take that on board and make the amendments as necessary.
All right, let's see how we go. No one's speaking against. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, raise your hand. It's carried by majority.
And division, please, Mr. Mayor.
Division called. Actually, this might be the last item. We're overdue to start another meeting. So I'll ask you to vote electronically with your participant thingy. Those in favour are Councillors Schilling, Telfer, Pryor, Duncan, Mason, Masika, Gard, Clancy and Velescu. Please put your hands down. Those against the motion, please raise your electronic hand. They are Councillors Hutchinson, Crossland and Hull. The motion is carried by an absolute majority. So the rescission is passed and the positive motion is approved. Ms. McKenzie, that's correct to your count as well?
Yep, that's correct.
Very well. So we'll go on. Next item. Well, actually, Ms. McKenzie, can I ask your view on that? Are we not due to start another scheduled meeting at 8:30?
So we have it scheduled in for 8:30 just as an estimated time, but we don't necessarily have to go to those items if members, if members want to finish the items under the reports for noting, that we can certainly do that and then move into the confidential items, or if members want to move into the confidential items, we can do that now as well. It's really up to the meeting.
Mr. Skull.
Your Worship, I would ask if we could do the SAEDB meeting because there's some contractual decisions that hinge off that we would need to make with the leave of the meeting, if we could.
Right. So we're actually very close to finishing the meeting. Could I suggest that we take on block the corporate risk report, just bear with me for a moment, the questions taken on notice register, which is just a motion to note, and then we just need to note the question on notice. So actually it's just two items on block. And of course, any questions about the risk register can be asked. I'm assuming then, Ms. McKenzie, there's no problem with just going on for a short time before we get to confidential items.
Yeah, okay. That's correct.
All right. So the risk register and the question on notice register moved Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Duncan. Did either of you wish to speak? Are there any questions arising, Councillor Hull?
Mr. Mayor, with the risk, I noticed in that register there's a fairly strong emphasis to cyber security. I just want to make the point, this is why it's even more important for us to actually have a full understanding of the procedures that Council wish to take going forward in regards to any possible breaches of our IT network. So I think that this really underlines how important that is, given that it's in the top 20 of our risk factors for our city, and it shouldn't be taken lightly.
All right. Could the I'm not sure what we said before. Will the procedure as adopted by the ELT be circulated to members?
No, through the chair. Well, the plan was that we would bring the procedure and the policy to council in the July meeting.
All right. Okay.
Yep.
Fair enough. There being no other questions, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? No one against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we go to the SAEDB item. As I mentioned, at first when I read it, I thought there was to be an attaching report, but the one-pager is the report, Mr. Skull, isn't it?
That's correct, Your Worship. Yep. We try to keep it brief to the point. Yep.
And the other thing that I was trying to establish in questions before the meeting was that there wasn't actually a council motion establishing the SAEDB, or was there? It's very hard. This is where it's very, very hard for elected members to actually search, or the public, to search our website and find items in previous meetings. So the question is whether there was a motion to actually set this thing up.
Ms. Thwaites, through you, through the chair, and Dana Bartlett spent a long time trolling through past reports going right back to 2006, and there is no council resolution that they can find. There is mention of it, of course, every year in the budget, and there is mention of the SADB various times in forums, but there wasn't a resolution that we could find that right. Set up the SADB. It just seems to me that it was an agreement between the two administrations of Onkaparinga and Marion, trying to get some power of two councils in a big block, working together and advocating for the South.
Right, and as things stand, the agreement finishes on 30th of June, does it?
Yes, well it does, because we have two people who contracted to... Well, one is actually contracted past that date. Sorry, both of them are contracted past that date, but they're quite happy to end the relationship on the 30th of June. And it did seem like a good point to put a line in the sand and to move on for the Onkaparinga and for us to do different things in the way of supporting our local businesses and making place in our councils, but still maintaining the opportunity to work together across the two councils and still keeping the relationship with the excellent chair that we've had to advocate for the South through her various roles.
All right. Look, one final comment from the chair is that this probably should have been a decision of council rather than an ex post facto noting of the report, given the reputational issues for council. So it's... it may be not quite as simple as one might have thought. But anyway, let's go to questions before we get to a motion. Councillor Hull, then Councillor Schilling, then Councillor Telfer. Councillor Hull, go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I've tended to move the motion.
I'll come back to you. Councillor Schilling, do you have a question?
Just got a couple of questions, probably more for Mr. Skull. Was the ceasing of this board on the radar of the two councils for a while now or just recently?
Through the chair, it's probably become very highlighted with the departure of Mr. Dowd and then with discussions that we had with the chair, Nikki Govan, and the acting chief executive, and talking about different directions that both councils have got and different focuses. You know, for Onkaparinga, it's mostly in McLaren Vale and around Noarlunga. And for us, of course, it's Edwardstown. And the ON program at Onkaparinga has different focus than our two business associations. So long-winded answer to your question, Councillor Schilling. Yes, it's been discussed probably for the last 6 months or so, and talking about what's the best way to represent the South and to look after our businesses and make place.
Sure. And was a more final decision made after the CEO change at Onkaparinga?
Yes, it was. And with the new CEO coming in, we waited on any decision until Scott Ashby came in as CEO. And then we had two meetings with him, with the chair. And there's a mutual decision to say, let's still cooperate on projects when we come to it, but let's work together, but we don't need the SAEDB as a body.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you.
Councillor Telfer, questions?
I'm wondering if the original board was established in 2007 through the Finance and Audit Committee motions that came to council. I'll just leave it, but that's my guess.
Yeah, it was established in 2007, and that was because the Mitsubishi was closing and the outlook for the economy in the South was disastrous.
Yeah, but given it's not on the council books, was it on the Finance and Audit books agenda? All right, leave it.
Great question. I had to ask Ms. Waits that.
Just take that as a rhetorical question rather than a question on notice, I think. Now, Councillor Holt, to move the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have been on council off and on ever since the inception. I remember Tom Phillips heading it up to start with, and it was all to do with the federal money that was at hand as stimulus after the closure of Mitsubishi. I still don't know whether all of that stimulus money was ever expended as it should have been. And I've been an enduring critic of that particular entity ever since. Members would know from near and recent times and old that I have prodded and poked this organisation because I know how poorly they've done. And it's interesting in the report that says what a great job they've done. Well, if they've done such a great job, why are we even talking about moving on from them tonight? Clearly, they haven't done a good job. And I do think it's a bad thing that we now don't have a local entity like this at all to represent the region, because the North is banging away as loudly as they can about the demise of Holden to actually get as much money as they can for the North. And if we don't stand toe-to-toe with the North, and for that matter, Central Adelaide, because, you know, there's a great focus on the old Royal Adelaide Hospital site, we're going to miss out. And, you know, I'm heartened to hear that Onkaparinga and Marion are going to work collaboratively, although, you know, that hasn't really been tested yet. It's a new CEO. But I will still move this motion. It is a long-standing view that I've had that it hasn't been performing. It's underachieved compared to, say, the Hunter Development Board. For example, my old hometown, which did a wonderful job after the closure of the steelworks and other the loss of the state dockyard. You know, we really need an entity like that now, and maybe it's an opportunity to reinvent that organisation, call it something else, and get the advocacy the South needs. I'm happy to actually move the motion to terminate this organisation, and hopefully something better will come.
Is that seconded? To note the report. Councillor Pryor, anything to add? Anything, no one speaking against? All right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. And so we've finished all of the meeting items that are undoubtedly in the public domain. And now we have, two items, right. That's interesting. In my agenda, don't seem to have, oh, that's right, they're separate, they're in the emails. Sorry, going off the electronic page. Now, as to, on page 270, the cover report for the CATS bylaw. Now, this one undoubtedly carries the confidentiality provisions of the Local Government Act because we are discussing legal advice. Would someone like to move or go into confidence? Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Valescu. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So we go into confidence.
Your Worship, do we need to go to a separate meeting? Just a procedural question. I believe we got sent an invite for a separate meeting because
that's right. Set up. So shall we reconvene in a few minutes? Leave this meeting? Ms. McKenzie, is that all right?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay, see you in a few minutes.